welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
I had a really good, it's been good at Days of Favour. Days of Favour is different to a lot of what we do, apart from the evening meetings. A lot of it is much quieter and much times of soaking, just quiet music, just times of being in God's presence. Because the thing is, we're here for a purpose. We're not here just to have good coffee or to have a comfy seat or to meet up with friends, although these are all good things. We're here because God has given us a purpose. And that purpose is in the very word, very thing that you're called holy. You know, God has declared that you are holy before him. And holy means set apart for a purpose. The vessels in the Old Testament, in Moses' time, the tabernacle and then later the temple had various things that were in the temple, put aside to be used inside the temple. And they were called holy. But how could plates and cups and candlesticks be holy? The reason was they were set apart for the Lord to be used for a specific purpose. And that's why we're holy, because you're set apart for the Lord for a specific purpose. So when the Lord says you're holy, the exciting side of that is it means that there is purpose and direction for your life. And to be holy and to walk in holiness is to walk in that purpose. All right, so there's a confusing passage in Hebrews that says that you have been made holy and you are being made holy, all in the same passage. Well, being made holy when you're already holy is learning to walk in the purpose of God that he's given you and living in the fulfillment of running with the anointing, if you like, and letting it flow out from you, whatever that anointing is. Okay, it's not just stuff here, it's stuff in our lives. Maybe you've got an absolutely brilliant anointing just to chat with people over a cup of coffee and share truth. You know, that's a valuable anointing. The whole hosting anointing, being welcoming people into your home is as essential as everything else. But it's what are you set apart for? Okay? And what I'm going to do in just a second is I'm going to play a song. It's a secular song. If you remember Living in the Hall of Fame by The Script. Okay, I like using songs that you're going to hear on the radio, because then when they come on, maybe you don't listen to the radio much, but they will come on in a shop or something like that. And for me, it just that whenever I hear that song now, I think about Team Kingdom Faith, and I think about the crowd of heavenly witnesses just saying, come on, come on, come on. You know, whenever I see it, well, Will I Am does his stuff in that middle of that song, it's like, yeah, come on, I'm part of that, I'm a champion. Amen. Yeah, it's a good song. And so this is a different, completely different tempo. This is one by that Julie bought during Days of Favour. And I think it's very closely linked to what God is saying to us at the moment. Even though it's, you know, not, well, as far as I know, it might have been, but not written from a Christian point of view. But there's something in these words that I want you to listen to. But it's also going to plug into what I'm going to say. And then when you hear this song by Emily Sandy, she sung it at the Olympics, you'll... you will be spurred on to greater and glorious things. So let's just, there's no video for this one, so you just have to listen, but the words are really clear. Amen. She could be singing straight to the church, couldn't she? Hallelujah. Yeah, I think if you're listening on the internet, as I know a whole bunch of you do, and we love you guys that are listening on the internet. In fact, why don't you give a big cheer in here for everybody that listens on the internet? It goes all around the world, these messages. Amazing, isn't it? It's what God does, because we've got this technology. But yes, if you want to listen to the song, it's Read All About It by Emily Sandy. You can find it on YouTube. So, back to us here, back to what God is saying to us here. I think one of the overwhelming things coming out of Days of Favour and what God's saying to me at the moment and what God's saying to us as a church is he's been laying the foundations of knowing that we're accepted by grace and we're living in mercy and, the whole message of not stepping into judgment, all these things of, you know, God has been laying down, hasn't he? Well, why has he been laying down? Because he wants new people to come and experience of him, and he's called this team together to speak about it. Amen. That's what that whole song is about, not being afraid to speak out. Even in, I think she says something about I can't remember the exact lyrics now, but something about if the truth has been prohibited, then we're going to break all the rules. Yeah, we want to be God's mouthpiece here on earth. Because, and the reason we can do it is because we know that we're nothing good in ourselves. We've discovered, and I hope we've got the revelation, that yes, there has been shame. Yes, there has been pain. Yes, there are still things that we can go through, but we do have an answer. And we do have an answer that will not only change those things, but enable you to go through those things. And the answer is not more head knowledge, but coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people in this town and the villages that you come from and the towns that you come from that have absolutely no idea of the good news of Jesus Christ. They might have heard of Jesus. They might have even heard that he died on a cross for us. But they don't understand what that means. Now, the reason we know that they don't understand what that means, because if they really understood it, they'd be here. Or they'd be in another local church. Because there's no other response to God's love than want to be with the people that he saved. And this is only going to happen if we, as in the song, we're not afraid to talk it out, to speak it out. It's what seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness is all about. It's making that righteousness, it's making that kingdom known. And we can feel like we're not equipped, we can feel like we don't know what to do, and we're in good company. We're just like Moses was when he was sent back to rescue the people from Egypt. We looked at a lot of that. We're just like that. But just like Moses was, God will provide the speech, God will provide the miracles and the power that we need so that we can talk to people and we can see them saved in our homes and in the supermarkets and on the streets. And we can just, on even a more simple way, be inviting neighbors and friends to come along to church. Because we have been conditioned, some of us that have been in church for too long, you get conditioned to think that people won't like it. They're going to like it. All right? There will be some that say, oh, I didn't like that bit, or I didn't like that bit. Or there will be some that are so challenged in their spirit that they'll have to find something to object to it because they're scared to come again. But basically, it's good. You know, we get letters, we get thanks about how what a great time they had from all the visitors that we get, particularly over the summer. They just love to be here because of the presence of God and the friendliness of the people. Again and again, the friendliness, the love from the people, not just the host team, the people is what people are touched by and what enables them to be open to what God is doing. So we're ready. We haven't got to wait in that sense. We are going to look at waiting today. We're going to look at what we should be doing while we wait for this, you know, for hundreds of people to be gathered and lots of people being saved. We're going to look at, well, what should we be doing right now then? Because sometimes it can seem a little bit like, well, what's the point? If we just wait, hang on and hang on and, you know, have a cup of coffee, then God will go bang and then everything will just explode. But that's not really found in the Word. Yes, God does turn up. God just suddenly do things. But even when God does something suddenly, if you've been listening, you know it was coming. What you don't know is quite when. Nobody ever knows when with God. So we're going to look at, I was going to start earlier, but I'm going to miss a whole section out. I was going to start in Luke 12, chapter 22. If you want to read that later, you can read it. It's headed up in my truth version, Seek First the Kingdom of God. And I was going to go through that first, but why not read that later on? Read from Luke 12, verse 22 to verse 34. And instead, we'll jump right on in at verse 35. In fact, now we'll go back one verse, the whole summary of what he's just been talking about. For your treasure is wherever you choose to set your heart, in this world or the next. What's your treasure? What do you think about? What's your motivator? What drives you? What are you living for? That's your treasure. And that's the reward that you will get. Okay, what your treasure is where your reward will come from. So for many people, their treasure is they want to earn more money because they want to buy more things and be more successful in the world. I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying that that's some people. That's for them is their treasure. I'm not condemning them for that. That's where they're at. But that's where their reward will be. Money will reward them. And money is fickle. It sometimes just disappears through our fingers. But money will reward them. Where your treasure is your reward will come from. If your treasure is the kingdom of heaven, your reward will come from the kingdom of heaven. What will come from the kingdom of heaven? Blessing, prosperity in your life. You will receive health. You will receive wealth because you're just open to the reward that's coming from what you're focusing on. Where your treasure is where your heart is also. And I want my heart to be after Jesus. I don't know about you. What do you reckon? Good, there's some nods. I'd remind you, I haven't been here preaching for a little bit while, but remember that if you want a good message, give lots of response. All right, if you want to be bored and it's a little bit warm and you want to fall asleep, just say nothing and you'll get a lovely quiet message because whoever's preaching here actually it gets lifted by the faith of the congregation. So when you're agreeing, you're taking hold of things that are being said here, and you take hold of them by faith, and they start to apply in your life. You know, so if someone's speaking about people getting saved, and you've got people you know who want to be saved, like family members, you're saying, yes, amen, cool, brilliant, yes, preach it, brother, whatever you want to say, well, wicked, sick man, whatever it is that's affirming, get it out there because you're saying, I'm taking hold of that for my life and my family's life. If you just sit there like that, it's probably just washing on over the top of you and there's nothing actually happening. For seeds to work, you've got to plant them. All right? If you keep the seeds in the packet, you've just got a pretty packet that takes up room in the drawer. But if you take the seeds out and you put them into soil or you use the seeds for what they're supposed to be used for, you get plants. And from those plants, you'll get more seeds. So I'm throwing seed all over you this morning. Don't just let it go onto the hard ground and nothing happen. Take hold of it. Plant it in your life with a yes and an amen or a whatever. Well, whatever would be a rather strange response. Yeah. Jesus Christ is Lord. Whatever. No, that's not quite what we're looking for. But you know what? Where I'm going on this. Yes. Yeah? So you're going to be much more responsive this morning, aren't you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, in theory, then you should get a good message. Now you see, that's what Nigel's going for. He's going to get a good message. Even if it's one of the worst I've ever preached, he's going to get something out of it that's going to get into his life and be good food in his life. It's true. You can actually get great revelation from God listening to a thoroughly boring preacher, you know, because you agree with the bits of truth that do come out. It's probably best not to loudly reject any truth, any untruths that are there, but you agree with the truth that's there. Yes, amen. Oh, that's good. And you're taking those things into your life. It's not a game. It's not just to make it more fun, although it does both, really. It's also to enable us to feed on the Word. Because the Word, God's Word, is food to our bodies. Amen? And who wants a healthy body? Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there. There was a response again, even to a question. Right, so we're going to start then where I said before I leapt back a verse, into verse 35. Be dressed properly in a Union Jack jacket and ready with your light shining brightly, for you are to be like those waiting for their master to return from a wedding feast. As soon as he arrives and knocks, they are ready to open the door to him. Such servants are blessed because their master finds them ready for his coming. I tell you truly, he will then reverse the roles. He will dress himself ready to serve and will make them recline at the table where he will wait on them. So such servants will be truly blessed, for the master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or at the crack of dawn. However, be clear about this. If the owner of the house had prior knowledge about when the thief was coming, he would not let him break into the house. And so too must you be ready at all times, because you don't know when to expect the coming of the Son of Man. Now, you can read this passage and you can talk about it looking completely in the end times, you know, the second coming of Jesus, the coming back of Christ. It's very interesting that where Luke uses it here, there's no mention of any of that. And so we're going to look at it in the way that Luke is using it, and presumably that means that's how Jesus also used it. So many of the parables and the stories he tells have got so many different meanings. It's quite intentional. God's quite brilliant. Yeah, he's got a decent IQ, so he can use the different stories to mean different things. So this can be a story to people who don't yet know Jesus. It's a story to people who are on the journey of discovering Jesus. It's a story for people who love Jesus. It's a story about waiting for God to do things in the now, and it's a story of waiting for God, Jesus, to return at the end of time, and everything gets wrapped up and sorted. It's all these things all at once. And we know it is because Peter is a little bit confused, because just after he's told the story, Peter says, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us disciples or to everyone?" Peter's picking up on the fact there's some different meanings going on here, and I'm not quite with you, Lord. And Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't treat them like idiots. He actually launches into another story, which really does focus on disciples. All right, you can read that one another time as well. It's a little bit shocking, some of it. You sort of read it and you think, is that really in the gospel? You read it, there's some bits there about being, well, no, you read it. Yeah. But it's for those who are disciples. It's a warning Jesus gives to those in leadership. So he's really, you know, Peter's put his foot in it. He says, is that for us or is that for everyone? And Jesus says, here, this is for you. All right? So get yourself sorted, because this is for you, Peter. All right? But he doesn't give a long, detailed explanation. He leaves them with something to think about. And the Word of God is like that. It likes you to think. It likes you to work things out. It likes you to apply stuff. It likes you to take stuff. And I suppose ingenious preachers are good at that as well. The mistake, if you get to preach, often our mistake, and I'm guilty of it like a lot of others, is we explain too much. Hopefully you're also left a little bit puzzled as well, a little bit curious, and wanting to find out a little bit more. You know, like me saying, read that afterwards, or check out the next one. That's really interesting. There's some dodgy stuff, rather than just feed it to you. You go away and read it, and you'll find it's, woo, really? Really? You said that, Jesus? You'll see what I mean if you read it. Anyway, but I can't spoon feed you, so I missed that. So be dressed properly and ready with your light shining brightly. Another way of saying be dressed properly in the context of the time, using the words that they're using, is gird up your loins. That's a good old-fashioned biblical expression. Gird up your loins. You know, it always sounds sort of slightly different. But what it actually means was, what the word that's being used there is, because they tended to wear long robes and cloaks and stuff like that, when you wanted to be ready to fight or to travel somewhere, or you've got work to do, you girded up your loins. And what you did was you lifted up all your robey bits and you tucked them in the belt so that your legs were free to run, to move, to take action. So when this says be ready, be properly dressed, it means get ready for action. Yeah. All right? Get ready for action. Be properly dressed. Don't turn up for the combat party in a ballerina dress. All right, make sure you've got that you're correctly attired. There's no point coming to, I don't know, run a marathon wearing high heels, gentlemen, because you're not going to make it. Well, most of us aren't going to make it anyway, but you get the point. You know, if us men start walking around in high heels all the time, we're probably not going to accomplish what we were trying to accomplish and end up at A&E with a twisted ankle, plus quite a few odd looks. Be properly dressed and ready with your light shining brightly. Now, the light it's talking about was the oil lamp. All right, because that's their general way of seeing light. Light was used as the oil which made the light work was the primary fuel. So oil, lamp, always has a tendency to speak of anointing of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, be properly dressed, be ready, gird up your loins, get rid of the stuff that's going to stop you from taking action, and make sure you are anointed. Make sure you are under the anointing, that you're under the flow of what God is doing. Okay? This is, remember, in the section of just following on from seek first the kingdom of God, this is about being ready for whatever God is about to do. All right? We're being ready for action. Waiting in the Bible is not an idle waiting. It's not just sitting around waiting for God to do something. It's being prepared. It's working. It's fighting. It's traveling. It's have everything ready. It's keeping your lamp absolutely topped up. It's actually a command to be busy. Be properly dressed and ready for your light shining brightly. For you are to be like those waiting for the master to return from a wedding feast. The wedding feasts in Jesus' time were long affairs. The bulk of the feasting would happen at night. So what Jesus is getting at here is that he's left the servants at home. He's gone off to the wedding feast and he's going to appear sometime in the small hours of the morning probably. But nobody knows quite when. It's one of those parties. Okay, the wedding feast could go on until the sun was rising, or it might be that it would end close after midnight. You didn't know. You didn't know what was going to happen. So the servants wouldn't have known when the master was going to return. And what Jesus is saying to even the church today in this is there's always times when you are waiting for the next thing to happen. You are waiting for the Holy Spirit to move. We are waiting to see multitudes of people saved. We are waiting to see more healings than we see at the moment. We're waiting to see more powerful miracles than we've seen at the moment. We're waiting to see what we've dreamed of. We're daring to dream, but if you dare to dream, the flip side of that is you have to wait then for the dream. And whenever you're waiting, there's a temptation to get fed up waiting and go and do something else instead. And so what Jesus is addressing is there's times when you will be waiting for me to act, because God will act at the right moment. God will act in the right timing so that everything is together, so that there is the maximum effect, if you like, in what's happening. So we are waiting on God. What do we do when we're waiting? We get ready. We don't sit around just having, you know, little parties. We spend time under the anointing. We spend time gathering together. We spend time preparing things and getting things ready. We make sure our loins are fully girded. The robes are tucked in our belt so we could travel where we need to travel, so we can do the work that we need to do, and we can fight when we need to fight. All right? And we make sure that lamp is full of oil. Those of you that know your Bibles are already thinking of the wise and foolish virgins. I know you are. That's fine. You can do that. But he doesn't mention them here. It just says have oil in your lamp. Have it ready. What is the oil? It's anointing. You can't do anything without anointing. You can be a fantastic speaker. You can be a fantastic coffee maker. You can be a fantastic cleaner. You can be an awesome musician. But without anointing, you won't see the release of God's presence. If you come and hoover the carpet, and you hoover the carpet in the sense of the Holy Spirit is flowing on me with an anointing, what you do will have effect in the lives of others. You can't see how, but it's a kind of prayer, and there becomes a flow of anointing. When you make a cup of coffee in the flow of the anointing, and you give somebody that cup of coffee, you don't just give them a nice drink. You give them something of God because the anointing flows through you. And whenever the oil is flowing through you, you get soaked in it. So that's good for you. Amen? So whatever you do, if you're a great musician, but you don't know how to flow in the anointing, or you haven't been spending time with the Lord, you might sound nice, but the people that you lead won't meet with God. They might think that sounded good. Oh, wow, the band sounded cool this morning. But if it's only when the anointing's there. In fact, you can make more mistakes. And the people will meet with God because the anointing is flowing through you and over the people. And in that context, it's one of the reasons we meet together. We were looking at in the Bible studies during Days of Favor in the book of Hebrews, and there's that expression in there, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us meet and encourage one another and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Why we meet together? Because it's coming together to share in the anointing. You know, whenever you feel like, I think I don't need church or I need a break from church, you know you're wrong. I tell you that now. The first time that thought comes across, maybe you're tired or whatever. I'm not talking about missing the odd Sunday because you're on holiday or, you know, that kind of stuff or whatever. But that when it comes to a point where I need a break from church, you're wrong. That's never, ever right. We get it because we're not in a great place. Or we've not forgiven somebody at church that's upset us. That also happens. But neither of them are a good place. Are they? So that's why we meet together. And the meeting together there, it doesn't mean meeting over a cup of coffee. It means an assembly. It means a congregation. It's actually a scripture that reminds us to come together as the people of God. And I love the focus, because the whole focus of that passage in Hebrews, it's in Hebrews chapter 10 and 11, the whole passageway. But the whole focus has been about how God has made us holy. The whole focus is about meeting with God, encountering God, flowing in the anointing, being holy and being made holy. And then out of the context of that, so don't give up meeting together.
Yeah, that's good.
But let us, as some have been in the habit of, but let us encourage one another. Why did you come to church today? Because in that little passage, there's an interesting focus. The focus of the assembly is to encourage one another. Why do we meet? To encourage one another. So when we come together, it's to encourage someone. We should, that actually, the biblical, apart from the other side of things, the biblical reason for meeting together is to encourage one another. You see, because it's a body thing. Sometimes we go to church, I need this from God, I need this morning. But actually, if you want your needs met that you have, then you need to go to encourage others.
Yes.
Particularly if you feel like you've not been encouraged. Because when you give, you will receive.
Amen.
You know, and so often in church, people say, oh, this didn't happen, or there's not enough love. The only way there'll ever be enough love in a church is when you start sowing it.
Yes.
Because you will receive what you give away. What you sow, you will reap a harvest in. So when people say there's not enough love in that church, a lot of the time it just means that they've not been loving. Because you will receive what you give. Amen. You can always say of any church in existence, in the world, there's not enough love in that church. Because there's not a single perfect church. And until the entire congregation is full of Jesus sat in on every chair, there will never be enough love. Until we're all living 100%, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, that passage. Until we're living it every single second of the day, there will never be enough love in any congregation. You'll always be able to find someone that upsets people. You'll always be able to find somebody that's a little bit prickly. You'll always find someone that's a little bit grumpy that day. You know, this is the reality of being human. So when someone says there's not enough love in the church, well, of course there isn't. That was a loving kick.
I love it.
For those listening on the internet, that was Pastor Brian Ward. Please address your letters to Brian Ward, the Summit. Yeah, we're learning, we're discovering, and yeah, there's gaps, there's holes, and we're learning to get better, and things don't always happen the way we want to happen, but that's just part of going forward in God. But in the meantime, when we're waiting for God to do something, we're busy. We're traveling, we're working, we're fighting for righteousness, fighting for justice, fighting for enough food to be in the food bank, whatever it is. There's something to be done while we're waiting. And these guys are waiting, but they don't know when he's coming back. And Jesus is saying to you, you're going to be in times like this in your walk with me all your life. There'll be times when you're waiting for something to happen. What do you do in the meantime? Get on with it. Be ready. Be anointed. Be in the flow. Be assembling together. Be encouraging one another and spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. Amen? All right, let's read on a little bit. I haven't got very far. Good job I didn't start at verse 22, wasn't it? As soon as he arrives, that's the master getting back from the wedding feast, and knocks, they are ready to open the door for him.
Yeah.
Are you ready for when Jesus, you go, yep. What are you waiting for? What are you daring to dream for? Yeah. We are waiting to see people saved, but when Jesus knocks, are you going to fling the door open? When you meet somebody tomorrow that questions you about what you did today, are you ready to fling the door open wide because Jesus is knocking? All right. When there's that opportunity, you'll invite the neighbour in for a cup of tea. Did you fling the door wide open, or did you just, oh, I missed that later? Let's stay awake is another meaning of be ready and be properly dressed. Let's make the most of every opportunity that God gives us. Yeah. And it says then that such servants are blessed. In the NIV, it says it will be good for them. Listen, this is Jesus. If Jesus says it will be good for you, that's going to be good. In fact, he's so certain of this, if you jump ahead to the next verse, he says it again. So such servants will be truly blessed, or so such servants, it will be good for them. In other words, if we're ready to respond to whenever God does something, it's going to be good. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have fun. It's going to make you happy. You're going to be blessed, because blessed means happy. You know, God likes you to be happy. How does he make you happy? He likes to bless you. How do you get blessed? You're ready. You're awake. You're waiting for the, you're in the flow of the anointing, and your loins are fully girded. Yeah. That's probably not the conversation to have tomorrow morning. You know, when some, what happened in church? And you suppose you went, oh, yes, I learned how to have my loins fully girded. Oh, really? Yeah. All of us, adults, children, we've all got girded loins. And they'll be ringing child line. No, we're going to be ready with what we need because we're in the flow. We haven't got time, even in the waiting, to be doing our own thing. Because we're holy. We're set apart for a purpose. This is life. And sometimes people, when they're part of what God is doing, they say, I need some of my own time. I need to do this. I need to do that. You have to be very careful when you start thinking about that, because we're called together. It's not that you can't have any time on your own, but what you want to be doing is listening to what God wants you to do. And God might say, hey, you need an evening vegged out in front of the telly. He does say things like that. That might surprise you. He might. He'd just say, that's going to be good for you tonight. That's going to fulfill my purpose of my holy vessel tonight, is for you to relax in your home, listening to some music. You know? Oh, really? Yeah, really. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have life. But what he doesn't want you to be saying is, I need 4 nights a week where I veg out in front of the telly. That's what I need. That's my life. I'll fit God in and other things like meetings in around that. I need those evenings or I can't function. That's rubbish. What makes you function is meeting together and getting under the anointing. You can have too many meetings. That's absolutely for sure. He didn't call us to meetings and meetings in abundance, but he did call us to meet together with him. Sometimes the whole thing is flipped the other way. Hallelujah. Right. So, it will be good for them. Because if, and listen, this is why it's going to be good for you if you're ready. Are you ready? You see, if you were Go Generation, we were born ready. Are you ready?
Born ready.
Oh, you lovely people. Thank you. Well, it's so much better when you do. This is me at my best, so you know. If you're thinking, is he finishing soon? Just imagine what it would have been like without the positive affirmation. Such servants are blessed because their master finds them ready for his coming. I tell you truly, and in Luke's gospel, this is I tell you truly, you know, this is Jesus' emphatic, I tell you the truth. This is when he says, you know, when he says it, he's going to say something that's going to go, really? You really mean that? Because he's God, after all. So he has to sort of emphasize, yes, I really do mean this. Listen, so I tell you truly, I tell you the truth. He will then reverse the roles. Who's the master in the parable he's talking about? Jesus. Who's the servants that are waiting at the door ready for Jesus to knock? We are. So when he says the roles will be reversed, he's saying, I will serve you. He was going to demonstrate this later on by washing their feet, wasn't he? But he says he will dress himself ready to serve. Jesus dressed himself ready to serve by all of his clothing being removed and stripped naked to hang on a cross. He was dressed to serve for that situation. But he will dress himself ready to serve. In other words, God will gird up his loins to make sure he's ready for everything you need to do. And he's going to help you to do it. He's going to serve you. And will make them, I like this bit, this is God. I will make them recline at the table where he will then wait on them. It freaked Peter out a bit, if you remember in the story later on when Jesus actually did it. No, look, no, I'm not letting you wash my feet. You know, I got the revelation. I was the one that got the revelation that you are the Son of God. And so if you're God, you're not washing my feet because I'm holy and humble. So God, you know, just to make sure everybody here knows I'm humble, I'll just say this in front of everybody. don't wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, you can't have any part with me then. And then Peter goes OTT and says, oh, well, wash everything then. Wash the whole lot, because I want to be with you. I love Peter. So do we all, because we're all a bit like that. Wash every single bit of it. And Jesus says, no, you've already been washed clean. In other words, you've already heard what I'm being saying, but I'm teaching you something else through washing your feet right now. So just listen up and watch what's happening and learn from this. And so he washes his feet to show him that true leadership, the true way to win the world is to serve the world and to come with a spirit of humility in servanthood. Jesus came as our servant when he came like this. But this is an amazing thing. If you are ready, as we've been, if you're dressed ready and your oil lamp is there, ready to burn furiously, if you're coming under the anointing, if you're coming under anointed teaching and under anointed worship and living amongst anointed people, when the knock comes and you fling open the door, not only will you see fruit from flinging open the door and it happening, but Jesus will serve you and will enable you to recline at the table and he will feed you. In other words, you get the very rest and time and relaxation that you were wanting to try and fit in by saying, I need at least 4 evenings, by God himself making that available. However that works out in the spirit. Because you can work 24/7 in special circumstances and still be totally at rest. That's not a normal thing, but God can do that. But he will give us the rest and the relaxation if we're plugged in under the anointing. If we're ready with our loins girded. I tell you truly, he will reverse the roles. He will dress himself ready to serve and wait them at the recline at the table where he will then wait on them. So such servants will be truly blessed. That's twice he says it. If Jesus says something twice and with that I tell you the truth, it's got to be important. For the master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or at the crack of dawn. In other words, it can be at the most unexpected time that there is a breakthrough or the knock on the door. The conversations that you're going to have with people will probably come at the most unexpected moment when you're feeling the least anointed you've ever felt and the least prepared you've ever felt, and you get the opportunity to talk about Jesus or pray for a miracle in someone's life, and you just thought, I didn't even have a quiet time this morning. I didn't have a quiet time this week. I didn't get to church on Sunday. I was thinking unholy thoughts when you asked that. You're totally not ready. It's going to come at an unexpected moment. But if you're living in an attitude of I'm going to be ready, even when it catches you by surprise, as it will, actually the door will fling wide open and Jesus will serve you by enabling to happen what's going to happen. Then, it's interesting, if you read about this, he comes out about the thief coming in the night. I was reading up about this morning because it's puzzled me before. And it seems to be the consensus that most people seem to think that he's actually referring to something that's happened. He's talking about the news. And so that it's likely, because of the way he says it, it's not a story, it's not a parable. The tense it's written in the Greek. However, be clear about this. If the owner of the house had prior knowledge about when the thief would come in, he would not have let him break into the house. So they're probably standing near a house where there's been a robbery, and they all know about it. And Jesus says, you know, if the owner had known about the robber coming in this house, it wouldn't happen, would it? You know, so he's actually just referring to current events. So you must all be ready. You must be ready at all times, because you don't know when to expect the coming of the Son of Man. It's a very unusual thing that Jesus does. He compares a thief to the Son of God or the Son of Man. But what he's saying, what this comparison is, not that the Son of Man is a thief, it's the unexpectedness. Yeah. And that if you knew the thief was coming, the thief wouldn't get in. Especially then, because there wouldn't have been any awkward laws. You know, you could be ready with your sword and cut his head off and it'd be fine. You know? I was going to say shotgun, but they didn't have many of them. So you must be ready. Now you're praying for stuff, aren't you? Well, I hope you are, because if you're not, you're not going to get anything. So you're praying to see things happen. You're praying for people to be saved. You're praying for health for your family. You're praying blessing upon your family. You're praying for material things to happen. You're praying that you'll be happy. You're praying for healing and stuff like that. You're making all these prayers. But it's interesting, you know Zachariah, who was married to Elizabeth? Zachariah and Elizabeth were praying for a child. Yeah? And yet when an angel turned up to say, you're going to have a child, he has an argument with the angel Gabriel, saying, well, that can't be possible, she's far too old, and how's that going to happen? It's the very thing he's been praying for. He was not ready. And as a result of it, he gets struck dumb and he can't speak even. And it's almost like the angel says, look, just shut up. You're going to talk yourself out of this. before your mouth blabbers on too much and you lose the miracle, just shut up until the baby's born. Now, you don't want God to just shut you up so that you can have the miracles happen, but instead you can be ready for those answers to prayer. Let's not be shocked, because in a moment there's going to be... open the door, and there's the answer to the very thing. But you need to be ready. And what we've done about is how you get ready. If you're praying for healing, say we're praying for healing for somebody right here, or you're praying for healing for somebody somewhere else in town, and there's a sign that something is happening. So you're praying for pain, and the pain lessens. Don't argue with the signs. Agree with the signs. The healing is happening. It has begun. All right. So many people say, well, no, I'm not healed. But they were feeling a little bit better. That's the time to say, yes, I'm in agreement with this. I'm flinging open the door, because then Jesus comes like the servant or the Holy Spirit, because they're all the same. And the healing starts to manifest in the person's body. That's why we teach so clearly, so often. You know, how are you feeling? Is the pain any less? Has the headache gone now? Are you able to walk a little bit easier? Whatever it is, and then begin to walk then. Okay, right, begin to walk, because you're saying the healing's happening. I'm taking hold of the healing. You know, if somebody struggles, has been struggling to walk for whatever reason, one of the things to do after you've prayed for them to be healed, for releasing the healing of the body, is to get them walking. All right, is it any better? No, it doesn't feel any better. Okay, let's keep praying then, because the healing's coming. Well, it feels a little bit better. That's the healing. It started. It's happening. Take hold of that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We don't want to be a Zachariah and get our mouths sewn shut because we start to talk ourselves out of the healing. Well, I got healed yesterday at church, but it was feeling a little bit sore again today. I don't think anything happened. Well, you were right. You taught yourself. Because we take hold by faith. It's mysterious. I don't fully understand it. But what I do know is it works.
Yes.
And you can speak positive stuff over you, and you can speak rubbish over you. Be very careful what you speak over your children. Be very careful what you speak over anyone. So, don't leave this morning thinking, when God moves, I'll get serious, because it's now. Don't leave this morning thinking, I can get the oil when I need it, because you can't. Then you can look up the wise and foolish virgins. It's too late. And remember, because I need to come to an end, I've got lots more. There's a reward for being ready. Everybody likes presents. Everybody likes rewards. If you're ready, you will be rewarded. We've lost that truth so much in the gospel, in the Bible, in modern Christianity. Oh, well, everybody just gets everything equally. No, everything's available equally. That doesn't mean everybody is equally blessed. Because you take hold of blessing depending on how you walk. If you never pray, your prayers won't be answered. All right? So if you're praying, you're going to see more blessing. It's not rocket science, is it? It's a little bit scary at first, because we sort of think, well, that's not fair. It's totally fair, because it's available to everyone.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, if you have two children, Dottie and Ben, and Dottie is the ultimate good child, and Ben is the one that never gets anything done. So Dottie is always doing her homework and tidying her bedroom, and Ben is always not doing his homework and leaving his bedroom a mess. If every night you reward both children with a Snickers bar for what they've done that day, Dottie is not getting fair treatment, is she? Now, you see it in that natural way. You say, well, that's not very fair. You know, she's doing everything you've asked her to do, and he's not, but yet you're giving them the same reward. It's the same with God. As you walk in what he has, it's a little more linked than that, because as we do what he said, there's a release into our bodies, you know. His word is health to our bodies, so if we're confessing his word, it's like taking the right medicine. You know, it's just a blessing. You'll get a reward. If you go to the doctor and he gives you some medicine and you don't take it, you won't get the reward of taking the medicine. This is what reward is in the Bible. It's the consequences of walking in what God has for you. Amen? So, let's gird up our loins.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.